So, for the past couple of weeks, for about 2 weeks now going, we've been looking at a topic called relationships. So is what we're looking at, what we've called the relationship series. And the first Sunday, about 2 weeks ago, we looked at the importance of relationships and how the relationships that one gets involved with, either at the friendship level or at a deeper level, can affect one's life. They can actually sometimes ascertain where your life will end up. We looked at how someone like Solomon, who was so blessed of God, such a wise person, how he, because of his relationships, just went in a direction that was, quite unbelievable. And, we looked at other points as well, and how, everyday relationships with people can affect where we end up. So that's what we looked at first, the importance of relationships. Then last week we looked at another part which we looked at was forms of relationships. We looked at popular relationships in terms of boyfriend, girlfriend. We looked at Christian courtship. And what we're trying to establish there is that for every relationship that's between a man and a woman, and that's going beyond the friendship, we have to like really evaluate it. And I think we looked at it from a very practical perspective where we said, okay, look, what's the purpose of every relationship that anyone goes into? So that's the question that, we're saying that we had to ask. And that single question can just highlight everything about whatever it is that one is going into that relationship about. And that question is, what's the purpose of that? So I think we have the recording. I'll put it on our website today from last week. So that we looked at that quite extensively. Now, today what we're going to be looking at is the third part of the series, and we'll be looking at marriage. Now, today I'm not going to go into like the actual marriage relationship, between a husband and wife and all that. Today I'm going to focus on, what should someone be doing before marriage? Let's assume someone is, in quote, within a marriageable age, between the age of marriage. What should you be focusing on before you get married? Then we'll look at the actual thing about getting married, finding a marriage spouse or a partner. So those are the things that we'll focus on today in what we'll be looking at. And for marriage, I must say, and this is something that Apostle stressed so much about, the person that one gets married to can have such a massive influence on that person's life. Let's even look at outside of the Christian message and the Christian perspective of marriage. Let's even look at people who are not Christians. If you look at them closely, you will realize that the person that one marries can have such an impact. And if one isn't really careful, that impact can be, to the extreme. It can be to the left, or it can be to the right. There are people who maybe have married certain people and it's just been hell. And there are other people as well who have married other people and their lives just turned around as well. So, but today we're going to be focusing on marriage from God's perspective. We'll look at what should one be doing before one gets married, and how do you find someone you're going to get married to? How do you, get to that point? So we'll look at that quite closely today, and that will help us. Now, before marriage, what should one be doing? So let's assume that, you're Christian, you're ready to get married. And what I mean by that is maybe you finish school, or you're in a trade, and you're kind of like at the age where you're ready from a female and a male perspective. We're going to turn to the book of Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 to 8. Genesis chapter 2 verse 7 to 8, and I'll read. It says, "Then God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now, the Lord had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man that he had formed. All right, so if I just stop there. So we see the first thing. So we're looking at, you know, what one should be doing before marriage. And the Bible tells us in this short story we read that when God created man, he created a garden and he put man in that garden. If we read on, it says he put man in the garden to tend the garden. He put man in the garden to tend the garden. Now, we begin to see something there. And the first thing we see there is this. Okay, that's if you look at verse 15, it says, the Lord took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. So that's Genesis 2, verse 15. And, you know, we begin to see something there. And what we see there is this. For anyone that wants to get married, particularly if the person is male, like a man, that man has to be in a position where he is working or he's doing something before he gets married. What that means is this. Any man that wants to get married and he doesn't have a career or a trade, or he doesn't have any means that he's going to use to look after his, you know, future wife, what's that man doing? How are you going to get married? Why are you getting married as a man if you can't even take care of yourself? Now, hear me. I'm not saying that someone, if a man is unemployed, he shouldn't get married. Do you get what I mean? So there's a difference between being unemployed and not having any aspirations to work at all. Do you understand? I mean, there's a part in the Bible that just skips my head now where Paul was even saying, you know, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that any man who refuses to work and provide for his family, that man is like an unbeliever, if that man is a Christian. So here he says any man who refuses to work. He's not saying any man who is looking for work. Do you understand? So there are people who maybe they've got a trade and, you know, business hasn't picked up. There are people who maybe they've, you know, gone, they've done a course and all that, and they're looking for work. No, we're not talking about those kind of people. Do you understand? So I remember that, you know, like this comes to my mind. Someone in my family was going to get married, and the person she was going to get married to, very nice man, but he wasn't employed. He was looking for work. And she asked her dad, you know, this man that, and said, it's not like this man is, you know, just loafing. He's looking for work. At least you're working, right? Go ahead. And yeah, and she did. And you know, the man, but while he was looking for work, he was still trying to do one or two things. And at the end, the job that this guy got was so amazing, you know, it was like, it just changed everything for them. So we're not talking about people who are looking for work. We're talking about people who refuse to work. There are some men, and I'm talking about men here. So whoever hears this recording, they'll say, oh, no problem. I'm just going to let my wife look after me or something funny like that. Those kind of men should not marry at all. I'm telling you. So before anybody gets married, she's always smiling while I'm preaching. I wonder why. So for any woman, any man that comes to a woman, and the man might be, you know, speaking in tongues and really all that fine guy, you know, he can quote the Bible passages and all that. And he's saying, I'm serious that God has called him to be, you know, living by faith. And he's not a pastor or anything. He's not supported by the church. Just show him this Bible verse and say, bro, what's your plan? And just tell him to go and find something to do first. Do you understand? Now, the reason is this. I don't know why I'm focusing on this, but I have quite a lot to do. The reason is this. You see, for a young woman and for a couple, you might, you know, someone might come across someone that you really like, and you're like, oh, and the person is a loafer in the actual sense, no future plans or anything, and they're quite bubbly and all that. You might really like them, and you're like, okay, God will change them and all that, and you get married, and you love them. Anytime you think of them, your eyes are shining, you know, and stuff like that. The truth of the matter is that if a woman gets married to a man like that, who is a lazy person, has no, and is just waking up every morning after you get married at 11 and watching daytime TV all day. I'm telling you, what will happen is that, you see, so you have to eat, you have to do certain things. After a while, the relationship can become stressful, and all that love that the woman used to have, you will clear one morning. And no, it's true. And the person will wake up to reality that, my goodness, I have married a loafer, but it's too late at that time. And for a woman who's going somewhere, who is not lazy, it's not easy. Because we'll look at another part of the Bible there. So it can be a source of real problem. People who just refuse to work, waiting to hit the next deal. So before marriage, anyone that wants to get married as a man, you know, get something doing. If you don't want to go to university or do whatever, get a trade, be a plumber, be a bricklayer or something. Just something that you can use to provide for your family. So that's the first thing. So no Christian woman should marry a loafing man, no matter how anointed he thinks he is. I'm telling you, don't do it. And anybody that's listening to this tape, don't do it. It's true. Don't do it at all, because it will end in regret. So before marriage, that's what we see, that Adam was doing something. He was, you know, getting himself together, so to speak, so that he'll be able to provide. Now, what's the other thing that a man or woman should be doing before they get married and while they're in the age, well, you know, where you know, they're kind of like ready to go into marriage relationship? Let's look at 1 Corinthians, the next thing, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And I'm going to read, and if we read verse 32 to 35. So we said before marriage, if it's a man, you know, they should be getting their, you know, getting their hands ready so at least they can provide for their wife. The second thing that anyone should be doing before they get married is this. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I'm going to read verse 32 to 35. It says, I would like you to be free from concern. It says, an unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he may please his wife, and his interests are divided. An unmarried man, an unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. Now, what I want to bring out there, this is a number of things. It's saying that when one is unmarried, it's a good opportunity for you to really focus your heart on God, to really get to know, to have like an undivided attention towards the Lord. So as a man, you know, you really want to get, you know, really want to focus on knowing the Lord, because you don't have to, you're on your own, so to speak. So that is what that passage is saying. So it's a time where one, you want to really build your relationship with God. I remember when I became a Christian, just after I met Dickiness, actually, in my early 20s. And I tell you, I was living on my own. I had started working by then, because I finished university quite early. I think I must have finished when I was, how old was I? Maybe 20 or 21. And I got a job straight away. And I had, you know, I finished quite quickly. I got a job. And I moved out of my house. So I was given a free everything, free flat, free car and all that. And after I became a Christian, I'll go back home. I mean, I had so many books. I could do whatever I wanted. I could go to all the meetings. I could, you know. So I was able to really, really, within that time, really, really focus on God, because I was on my own. And obviously I got married, and it's not, you know, it's great, but I can tell you there are times that, you know, you want to study the Bible sometimes and your wife is waiting for you at home or vice versa. You know, you have to give them that time. Do you understand? Or when your kids come along and all that. So what I'm just saying is that you won't have as much time to, you know, focus. Or when you're single, you can just buy a ticket and say you're off to Mexico, take a break from work. You're off to Mexico for 1 week. You know what I mean? They're doing crusade there. You just say, oh, I'm going to India somewhere. You can follow apostle there. You know what I mean? But when you get married and you have kids, you might not be able to do that. As you have to plan. I was looking at apostle. I was like, hey, maybe I want to follow him because he's going to so many places. I want to, you know. Yeah. And I thought, my, if I do that, who's going to take this? Who's going to share school run? And, you know, who's going to share school run? And all that. So what I'm just saying is that the Bible is telling us here that marriage is great, but when you're unmarried, you can do so much more when it comes to knowing God and focusing on God, because you don't have any responsibilities per se. Do you get what I mean? So what am I saying here? For anyone who is unmarried, we have to realize that, look, it's a good time. It's a good time to really, really focus on God. It's a good time to really, you know, get to know God, you know, focus more time on Him so you can know Him better. So that's what one should focus on before marriage. If you're a man or a woman, well, this one applies to men. The first one I spoke about, you must be doing something, otherwise you shouldn't marry, and you should focus on God. Now, the next thing I want to focus on for the next couple of minutes is finding a spouse or partner. I'm going to look at five things today. You see, finding a spouse is a very tricky matter. I can tell you, it's a very tricky matter. Now, why am I saying it's a very tricky matter? It's a tricky matter because oftentimes we can judge someone. Look, we can meet someone and the person is a good person, no doubt. They're a Christian, there's, you know, we like them, they like us. Do you understand? But one thing is this, you do not know what someone is going to be like 5 years from now. You cannot tell what someone is going to be like 20 years from now. Let's take it further. You cannot tell what someone is going to be like 30 years from now. You cannot. Do you understand? So that tells me something. It tells me that for anyone that is going to get married or find someone, you have to really depend on God. You have to really depend on God. I've met people who they're going through stuff in their marriage. And, you know, please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that if when one gets married, it's going to be rosy all along. No, you have all these, you know, misunderstandings because you're human beings, obviously coming from different backgrounds. I'm not talking about like the everyday normal disagreement between a man and his wife or vice versa. No, I'm not talking about those kind of things. I'm talking about pure wickedness in marriage. I'm telling you. People have come to me, I've spoken to people, and when you see them outside, these are Christians, they look like, oh man, this is such a, you know, gorgeous family and all that. Then, you know, people call me aside and they begin to tell me certain things. And in my mind, you know what they told us, that we shouldn't show shock. In my mind, I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm telling you, in my mind, I'm like, are you kidding me? And they say things that's going on that, you know, if I told you, maybe you would just faint. I'm telling you, wicked things that are going on. And it's like, men, I'm stuck. And I'm, you know, as a pastor, what can you say? You have to put your opinion aside and just say, well, this is what the Bible says. You have to bear your cross. You have to just stomach it. You have to just this. And in some instances, people change. But I'm not talking about just light misunderstandings. I'm talking about wickedness in the heart of man and woman, or behaviors that are just incomprehensible, selfishness. And so why am I saying this? You don't know. The only person that knows is God. Do you understand? So the first thing we want to see is this. When it comes to marriage, the first basis and the first thing that everybody has to understand and that we have to really agree on is this. Let's look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. Genesis chapter 2 verse 18 says, "The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." All right. So the first thing we want to establish here is this, that marriage is God's idea. Marriage is from God. All right. Marriage is not an institution initiated by culture. Neither is it initiated by society or popular opinion. God is the one that created marriage from the very start. It's not any man's idea, and the rules of marriage or the tenets of marriage, the proper tenets of marriage, are from God. So anybody who comes up with any other tenet concerning marriage that is not according to God's word, that person is not, or that group hasn't got it right concerning marriage. So if God is the one that created marriage or that initiated marriage, then that means he's the one that has the final say on how it should be conducted, how we should behave in marriage, how we should choose a life partner and all that. Do you understand? Because if it's done any other way, then really such a person will get the consequence of any other way. Do you understand? So that's the first thing we see in Genesis chapter 2 verse 18. Here, it says it's not good for man to be alone. So God made a suitable helper for him. God is one that started marriage. Now, the other point I want to make here is this. It was God that knew when it was time for this man to get married. All right? It was God that said, it is not good for this man to be alone. It was God that knew the time that this man was going to get married and his wife was going to get married to him. Now, that seems like a simple statement, doesn't it? Now, the reason I'm saying this, I'm making this as a second point, is that for a woman and for a man, from a natural perspective, you might think that it is time for you to get married because you have reached a particular age, because you have finished school, you have a career, you're living on your own, you have money to take care of yourself, you seem to have all the criteria, you can look after another person and feed them and house them, and you think, okay, and maybe your parents think it's time for you to get married. But the truth of the matter is this. Although that's good, God is the one that knows when everybody should get married. Now, what does that mean? The man wasn't concerned about that. He was going about his own business, having the conversation with God, sorting out his everyday living. And it was God that realized that, look, it's time for this person to get married. Now, what does that mean? What that means is that for anyone who is unmarried, what this is implying is that such a person should not focus their attention, their mind, or be put under pressure to say, oh, I'm getting older, let me get married, or I should be getting married, or that people start asking you the question, oh, so any prospects and all those things. No, it's not right. You should not be put under those kind of pressures. Do you understand? Because it is God that knows exactly when it's time. And the reason I'm saying is this. When it was time for me to get married, I wasn't even thinking of getting married at all. I'm not going to tell you guys how old I was then, but in fact, when I got married at that age, kind of like just above my mid-20s, a lot of my friends were so surprised, because what they said is now that, oh, I've now put them on that pressure that their own parents would be asking. I'm telling you, because I had like quite a few friends, and they said, oh, that I've now put them on that pressure. Because before I became a Christian, what used to happen then was that because I had a free flat, when I finished from work on Friday then, all you'd have so many of my friends, sometimes like 10 to 15 guys, because we had all finished school, 10 to 15 guys will come on Friday to my house all weekend. Can you imagine that kind of thing? We'll be driving up and down, misbehaving. Then I became a Christian. I backed out. They now said, ah, what's wrong with this guy? Then when I now met my wife-to-be, I just stopped seeing them. And they were like, who is this person that, you know? But the point I'm just trying to make is that I wasn't thinking I was going to get married. I thought maybe I'll get married in my 30s or something, or maybe even much, much later and all that. And here I was, just a bit in my, you know, and I just knew that it was time for me to get married. And I just told my wife point blank. And I was quite surprised. So I straight away, I just knew that, okay, this, you know. So it was a bit strange. And I said, okay, I proposed. She went, she thought about it. And that was it. And I know my mom called me aside once. What's up with that girl? Are you going to marry her? I said, yeah. I'd already asked that. So at that point, I knew I was going to get married. And I think for her, she knew as well. And God was the one that knew what time. So mine was a bit early. For some of my friends, it was much later. Do you understand? So what I'm just saying is that I wasn't even thinking about it. Do you understand? All I knew when I met Deaconess and all that was that, okay. So God is the one that knows the time for every single person. And we shouldn't be concerned or even focus on it. We should just go about our business. And God in the background will organize it. I was just looking at, because I'm recording, I'm not going to mention your name. These folks in front of me. Who would have, if you guys had rewound like a year before you met, you would have thought, okay, maybe. And God just organized it one way or the other, you know, and you know. So that's how God does it. When you least expect it, He will just organize it in such a way. Then you now be like, wow, this is so interesting. You know, the guy wasn't even in the headquarters church. True, do you get me? One random guy that was in another one far country in Scotland. I won't mention it because I'm recording. In Scotland. You know, not even in London where, you know, our sister, you know, not even in the vicinity. Do you get what I mean? So what am I saying? I mean, there was one lady I read a while ago that, again, Christian lady, really loved God. And I think she was quite young, and she told her parents that she was going to go to India or somewhere to be a missionary. And her parents were so concerned, like, oh, who are you going to see to marry in India, this English girl? You know what I mean? Missionary? Well, but what now happened now? There was another guy, I think she was from America, another American guy as well, who similar happened to. They now met in that India place and they absolutely loved one another. So God organized it because she was like, well, I'm just going to do what God wants me to do. And that's how God works. Now, the next thing I want to mention is that, and this is quite important, God was the one that helped Adam, that brought Adam, Adam's wife to him. Now, this is quite an important point. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 14. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 14. Let me just say. It says, houses and wealth are inherited from parents, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. We can put a prudent husband there. It says, houses and wealth are inherited from parents, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Now, this tells us something. So what we're looking at now, we're looking at finding a spouse. We've said God is the one that initiated marriage. We said God is the one that knows when it's time for us to get married. We're now saying here that God is the one that knows who we should marry. Anyone that gets a proper husband or proper wife with the help of God, God is the one that knows. Do you understand? It is God that gives you a good husband or a good wife. Now, this is quite important because our criteria sometimes might not be from a physical perspective. That's fine. But like I said, you don't know what someone is going to be like 10 years down the line, 1 year down the line. Do you understand? So what am I saying here? I was reading a part in Genesis where Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Isaac wanted, well, they were looking for, Abraham. Yes, Abraham. Abraham, now his, I'm always saying, God of Abraham, Isaac. Yeah, it was time for Isaac to get married. This guy was like 40. And it was just cool. Abraham now said, look, called one of his servants, go and help me in the book of Genesis get a wife from, not from these folks that live on the unbelievers, from my own people, for my son Isaac. All right? Now, this man left and he got Rebecca for Isaac. The point, now, someone might argue and say, oh, that's so archaic. You know, nowadays we don't do all that. Our parents can't just choose. No, that's not the point I'm making. The point I'm making is that when this guy was leaving, he told Abraham that, how about if I don't find this wife for Isaac? You know what I mean? How about if, you know, you're saying I should go to this place? How about if I don't find this wife for him? What's going to happen? Do you understand? Do you know what Abraham said? He said to him, paraphrasing, he said, the God that he serves, that took him this far, will lead him to get that wife. And he says, paraventure, if that doesn't happen, then no problem. But Abraham knew that, look, whatever method, if you close your eyes like this and you're going down the street, not that you should do that, if your trust is in God, God will get your wife or your husband for you. That is very fundamental, I am telling you. Isaac wasn't even there to go and meet the girl. Isaac trusted that, look, my father, I'm not saying fathers should choose brides for that. No, that's not the point. He knew that my father understands God, and faith in the God of my father will ensure that I get the proper wife. Do you understand? He knew that by faith, one way or the other, God will get his spouse for him. And that is so fundamental. Isaac wasn't bothered. He knew that, God will sort me out. Abraham knew that even if I don't go, I know that God that I know will make it happen. So what am I saying here? What I'm saying here is that, am I saying that we should be super spiritual and, you know, no. Obviously, I'm not going into, you know, marriage relationship and details of it. When someone comes your way and you even think that's a person you marry, you still have to, you know, watch them over a period. You two, they watch you and all that within the context of courtship. But what I'm saying is that faith in God, and I think it applies in everything, will ensure, if someone can just make up their mind and say, okay, look, one, when it's time for me to get married, God will bring me the right person, and you back out. You'll be so surprised that when it's time, you'll be going about your normal business, but God will organize that meeting. I'm telling you. God will organize that meeting without your knowing. You won't even be involved. God will link them, make sure that they're here at the right time, and it will happen. If you can just relax for someone, you know, who's not married and back down and put it into God's hand. So it's not, oh, this guy looks handsome or this, that. I mean, obviously, when God brings a spouse for you, you'll be attracted to them. But it's not saying that you're starting from the point that you, I don't want to laugh and say this. You know, some people will say, look, I'm not going to go to that church. I'm going to go to this church because they have more, this nice, more men, more sisters. No, it's true. I know someone that has done it before, that they will just gauge. That one is married, that one is married, that one is a teenager. Why are you laughing? That one is a teenager. scan. I don't like all the people here. I don't think there's any potential candidate. Zap to the next church. Ah, this church, they have loads of, you know, singles. They're doing well. They have all this nice, you know, and that is their criteria. I'm sorry for that kind of person. I'm telling you, I'm sorry for that kind of person. So what I'm saying is that the person that God has for you might even be in China. Do you understand? So what am I saying? That we should not, when it comes to this marriage business, now, when the person comes, you will know. Then you now, you know, do all the, so the person might not be perfect, but you will just know. But what I'm saying is that God will organize the whole business for you. I'm telling you, that's how it happens. Now, I'll look at two more things. The fourth one is that we must realize that marriage is for life. Mark 10:9. Marriage is for life. So it's not like you're going to a shop down the road. Can you turn to Mark 10:9, please? Mark 10:9. Marriage is for life. So it is such an important decision. It's not one that you're like going down to the supermarket and you say, okay, I'll buy these shoes, and if I don't like it, if it doesn't fit me, I'm going to change it. No, you can't do that. It says, therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Let's look at Malachi chapter 2, verse 16. The reason why I'm highlighting this is that in the choosing of a life partner or this marriage business, it is not a trivial matter. It says, I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel. So we see that God doesn't like divorce. He's not even saying I don't like it. He said, I hate it. So marriage is not a trivial thing that once you just make a hasty decision, you just try and work it out yourself, because it's for life. Someone might say, oh, you know what? I'm not going to marry this person. We'll be live-in partners. And they have children that way. And one day someone will wake up and say, well, I've had enough of you and I'm off. Yeah, so you see a lot of people who don't even get married God's way. They live together and person just walks away. But for the Christian, marriage is for life. So anybody that anyone marries as a Christian, whether you make the right choice or not, it's for life. You can't change. You can't say you're not doing again. So it's a very important decision that we have to make. Now, the last thing I want to say is, who should we marry? Because of our time, I'm just going to do a quick one on that one. Who should we marry? First, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. A Christian can only marry, a believer can only marry a believer. As a believer, you cannot marry someone who is an unbeliever. It just will not work. That's one point. Who should we marry? I'll just take the last point. And that's from Proverbs chapter 14, verse 14. And Proverbs chapter 14, verse 14. Can I have King James Version for that? As a Christian man or woman, if you put it to King James, see, because it says it in the way I want to. Proverbs 14, 14. It says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. As a Christian, don't marry a Christian who is a backslider in heart. A Christian who is a backslider in heart is someone that still comes to church, but they're not really interested. They have no intention of getting to know God. They just come and they click, you know, mark the register on a Sunday. In their hearts, they're far away from God. Don't marry a backslider in heart. Because for a man who wants to really grow in their relationship with God, you don't want someone that you will tell, Sunday, let's go, like, church every time. Must I go every Sunday? And before you got married, they used to go every Sunday with you. Don't do it. You know what I mean? All right. So, looking at my relationships, we're going to end there. So I've said today, what should you be doing before marriage? We looked at that. And we now looked at 5 points on the finding a spouse. We've said, first of all, that marriage is from God, not by the society. We said, secondly, that God is the one that knows when it's time for you to get married. We said that God is one that can help you to choose the right person. We said that marriage is for life. And we now said a couple of points to note when you're going to marry. Only marry a Christian. And if the person is a Christian, don't marry someone who's a backslider in heart. Amen. Let's just pray.